radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again, to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. On today's edition of Yesteryear, we've got a real treat for you. Back-to-back, one full hour of Gangbusters, featuring the two-part series on the notorious Bugs Moran. This best remembered of all police shows came about in the summer of 35 when Phillips H. Lord talked NBC into developing a plot series regarding the government's war against crime. Lord sold his idea to Chevrolet, then flew to Washington, D.C. to gather the official blessing of J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI. Hoover agreed to let Lord use FBI files on closed cases, and the series was off and running. In 1948, the show switched to CBS for General Foods, which carried it on Saturdays until 1953. It was sustained then on CBS from 53 until 1955. The final version of Gangbusters was last heard on Mutual in the 1955 through 57 series. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear as we present back-to-back parts 1 and 2 of Gangbusters and the notorious Bugs Moran. Another classic radio program from the audio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bose, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again, to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case history. Gangbuster.
Tonight, new facts in the case of the notorious gang leader, Bugs Moran, who returned from retirement to kindle old flames, but who learned that not all horse players die broke.
Gangbusters has again asked the Honorable Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the notorious Bugs Moran.
Mr. Heck, many of our listeners know how the Chicago gangster George Bugs Moran became one of the country's most powerful and feared racketeers, until he was forced to flee Chicago just ahead of Al Capone's machine gun bullets.
Yes, Don, and it was many years later before he could summon the courage to return to Chicago. Although Capone's organization had long since been broken up and the notorious gang leader sentenced to Alcatraz. On one occasion, Moran left his Minnesota hunting lodge and sauntered up and down North Clark Street, where he was formerly such a power. One rainy night, he ventured into a cheap tavern and ordered a drink.
Straight bourbon, friend. Leave the bottle here.
Yeah.
You've been here long?
Too long, friend.
Well, he's looking at you.
Yeah, much too long.
I remember when this joint was a speakeasy.
And my memory's not that good, friend.
I understand there's a game in the back room.
You understand too much, friend.
Let me tell you something, friend. I used to own this joint.
Yeah?
Yeah. And 40 more like it.
Give me back that bottle. You had enough.
Leave it later. My name is Moran. George Moran.
Bugs Moran?
Nobody ever calls me that.
Let go of that shirt, friend.
Bugs, huh? I'll show
Let
you.
Let go or you'll know the reason. Now, go on. Get out of here.
Wait a minute.
Get out, friend, before you're a has-been with a cracked skull instead of just a has-been.
Look here, smart guy.
Hit the road, you bum. Go on, get out.
Yeah, your whiskey's rot gut anyway.
So long, Bugs.
Patsy?
Ah.
Take it easy, Winnie. It's just a shower.
Yeah? Well, I paid $30 for this hat. Oh, nice.
We'll stick in the doorway here until the cab comes along. Just relax.
Relax?
Patsy! Patsy! Ah, the monkey.
Hey, any room in there?
Help yourself. The doorway don't belong to us.
Thanks.
Patsy! Yeah, they're all loaded.
Some rain, huh?
Yeah. Dutch.
What?
Give me a cigarette.
I'm all out, Winnie. Hey, taxi!
Taxi! Here's a cigarette.
Hmm? Oh, much obliged.
Light?
Yeah, thanks.
Taxi!
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Aren't you George Moran?
Oh, you know me, huh?
Well, don't you remember me? Winnie. Winnie York. I was hatjack girl at the Polka Dot Club.
Winnie? Oh, sure, I remember. Winnie, sure, yeah.
Well, I did put on a little weight since. Dutch!
Fine.
Taxi!
Dutch!
What?
Dutch, you know who this is? George Moran.
Well, what do you know? I used to work for you. Dutch Bauer.
Yeah, great to see you again.
When I was just a kid, I don't think you ever even saw me. I used to peddle your booze out in Waukegan. Well, what do you know? George Moran. I heard you're retired, country gentleman.
That's what they call me.
Well, that's for me. My country gentleman stuff.
Hey, Dutch. Why don't we take George along to the party?
Well, I don't know. We were only invited ourselves.
Oh, don't bother about me.
Oh, they'll be glad to have him. What do you say, George?
He's probably got something else to do. What are you bothering the guy?
Well, I haven't got a thing to do.
Well, then come along with us. We'll have a great time. Hurry up, Dutch. Get a cab.
Taxi! Taxi!
There's one. Come on, George. Let's run for it.
Winnie, what does Bugs Moran mean today? Nothing. He might just as well have been dead for all the weight he carries.
But he's got no less brains than he had 20 years ago. Besides, Dutch, maybe he's still bigger than you think.
I don't know why I listen to you. What do I need him for? The whole thing's set. We're ready to pull the deal. In he walks. Sometimes, Winnie, you give me a pain.
Well, he's in. You asked him in.
Sure I asked him in. You wouldn't leave me alone until I did. Bugs Moran. If this was running hooch or rough stuff or something like that, then maybe he'd be okay. This is a slick deal. It takes a touch.
You and your touch.
Things have changed, Winnie. Bugs Moran don't
Take
mean
it. Take it easy on that bug stuff. He don't like it. And to me, George Moran still means plenty.
What difference does it make what he likes?
That's him.
Answer it, then. Bugs Moran, huh?
All right, I'm coming.
Hello, Winnie.
Come in, George.
It was a nice party last night. Thanks for taking me.
Oh, they were glad to have you. So was I.
Hello, Moran.
Glad to see you again, Dutch.
Sit down, Moran. Sit down.
Thanks.
Well, I'll fix some drinks.
Oh, that's a good idea, Winnie.
What do you have, George?
Oh, whatever you got, all right.
You take bourbon, if I remember.
That's right.
Straight?
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd be interested in the deal, Moran. The word is you're plenty well healed. Always have been.
Money's like water, Dutch. It runs out. You gotta keep filling the tank.
Yeah. Look, Moran.
What?
This is a smooth operation. No rough stuff.
I don't believe in rough stuff unless it's needed. Hey, come on, give me a rundown.
Well, I got me a good couple of boys. One's good at circulating paper. One is engraver.
Wait a minute.
What?
This deal isn't counterfeit.
Well, not money.
What the...
Something just as easy to shove and a lot easier to duplicate. American Express money orders.
Uh-huh.
We got a set of plates that's a dandy. I figure if we work it right, we can wholesale about $100,000 in this stuff. Not less than $100,000.
You got a sample?
Sure.
Lots of samples.
Mind if I take a look?
No. Help yourself, here.
Perfect job. What do you think of it?
It stinks.
Are you kidding?
It's a rotten job. I can tell it's way off without even a legit paper to compare.
Look, Moran, we worked a long time on this
thing. You didn't work long enough. You'll never make it.
Now, wait a minute.
Get hold of that engraver. I want to talk to him.
The engraver's finished. We're through with him.
I said get hold of him.
If you don't like the stuff, pick up your hat and walk out the door. We'll get along without any bugs, Moran.
Bugs?
They let go.
Let me tell you one thing, Dutch. You invited me in this deal, and now that I'm in, it's going to be run right. You understand?
Okay. Okay, take it easy.
Refreshments, boys.
Just in time, eh?
In time for what, George?
Dutch and I came to an understanding. We can all drink to luck.
Well, that's wonderful. It's great.
Yeah, great.
Help yourselves, boys.
Bring it down, Dutch. And go get hold of that engraver.
Nah.
What's the other one's name?
Fisher. But look, Moran.
I want to talk to him, too, but the engraver first. Go ahead.
Don't start pushing me around, Moran. The days when you push guys around are over.
Yeah? And I'd like to see those days come back. And right now is as good a time as any to bring them back. Well?
I think I know where to locate the engraver and Fisher. See if I can raise him.
You know, George, I don't like to give you advice, but...
But what?
Well, Dutch wasn't too sold on taking in the first place. It was me that sold him.
Let me tell you something. For a lot of years now, I've been sitting back taking a lot of guff from guys who think they know it all. Every time they open their mouths, you can see all they got is mouth with no brains on the side.
Okay, but Dutch said he...
Who cares for Dutch?
I'll tell you who, George.
Who?
Nobody, George. Nobody at all.
So, Don, the deposed Chicago gangster, Bugs Moran, was on his way toward making a comeback in the underworld. But he was to learn that the authorities of the law had changed their methods of operating as much as he intended to change his.
Now, back to gangbusters. You were telling us, Mr. Heck, how Bugs Moran, the deposed Chicago gangster, had been taken into a syndicate which intended to circulate bogus American Express money orders and had gradually assumed leadership of the conspiracy.
That's right, Don. And Moran sent Dutch Bauer to bring still another member of the gang, Fisher, to a meeting where they would discuss Moran's new plans for distributing the fake money orders. Dutch finally located the portly Fisher in a suburban horse room.
And 280. Time of the race, 123 flat. At New York in the third, they're off and running.
Hello, Fisher.
Oh, hiya, Dutch. Grab a chair.
Thanks.
What's on your mind, Dutch?
I need you for a meeting, right away.
What kind of meeting?
New York,
well,
I got a bundle in on this
one. Slowly, Uncle John by two, and Crack Dice is third.
Where's that beetle of mine? He's supposed to be a front runner.
Forget about the horses for a minute, will you? Bugs Moran is coming to the bunch.
Yeah, so what? Bugs Moran? What did he spring from?
That's what I'd like to know.
New York,
he's in and he's...
Hold it, Dutch.
Counselor still in front by a length. Uncle John second by a half. And third is now just in time.
Just in time. Don't I even get a call out of this race? Local boy. How I ever got touted on local boy, I'll never know.
Well, you'll listen to me, Fisher.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Bugsman.
I was telling you, he's practically taken over. He's in there running the show.
No kidding.
I give the guy a break. What kind of gratitude does he show? Taking over.
Well, maybe it's a good thing, Dutch.
What do you mean it's a good thing? Don't you think I can run the show?
Maybe you can, but Bugs Moran knows his way around.
Now listen here, Fisher. You're
the stretch in New York.
Come on, local boy, where are you?
Hitch is now second by two. Just in time and Crack Dice head and head for third.
Where's that local boy?
Moran's gonna change the distribution gimmick. He's what? Moran's gonna switch everything upside down.
He can't do that. It's worked out to a T.
You ought to remember when Bugs Moran takes over, he takes over.
The distribution is okay. It's okay as...
Third in New York.
Ah.
The winner was number four, local. local boy.
Hey, local boy.
And Craig Dice third.
Oh, how do you like that? The horse don't get a call and he win it. He don't get a call.
Be at my place tonight, 10 o'clock. Moran will go over the whole thing with you.
Yeah, I'll be there. How do you like that local boy, huh? You don't get a call and you win it.
I'll see you tonight. So long.
Yeah, yeah.
The results in the first at Keeneland are now official. The winner, Mr. King, paid $720, $380, and $3.
Telephones, doorbells, always. Hello.
Fisher?
Yeah, this is Fisher.
Can you talk?
Oh, it's you, Lieutenant. Yeah, I can talk. There's nobody here.
Good. I just now got your message. What's up?
Plenty, Lieutenant. I think we're after much bigger game than we figured.
Huh?
Dutch Bauer came around this afternoon. It's going to be a meeting tonight.
What time?
10 o'clock, Dutch's place. But, Lieutenant, that's not the important thing. You know who came into the deal?
Who?
Bugs Moran.
Bugs Moran?
Yeah, Dutch told me this afternoon. Not only is Bugs in, he's starting to run the show.
Well, that puts a new light on things.
Now, Dutch tells me Moran is switching the whole gimmick around. He wants to make a $1 million proposition out of it. That's what the meeting's about tonight.
Okay, Fisher. Watch your step. Moran's a slick operator. If he ever gets a line on you, you're as good as in the lake.
That's the way it works. We get 50%, the passive's 50%. $500,000, and that ain't a bet. Hey, Fisher. Are you taking this all in, or are you dreaming?
I heard every word, Moran.
He's thinking you should have had a couple of yards on that horse today instead of 50.
You think that would have been bad,
huh? I don't like guys sitting around pipe dreaming while I'm laying out the gimmick.
I told you, Moran, I took in every word.
All right. Give me a rundown, then.
But skip the details. I've been batting them through my head 2 days.
Well, like you said, instead of $100,000 in money orders, we shove $500,000. You said you got plenty of contacts, so we get together a syndicate. Guys in every city, all over the country. Every money order gets cashed on the same day. 1 day, and then we quit.
Yeah, that's about it. Any questions, Dutch?
Only, when's the day?
Soon.
Well, how soon? Track opens in Miami the 23rd. I got plans.
Maybe your plans will have to wait. I'm not rushing things so you can watch those cockroaches run around a circle.
Okay, don't tear a muscle. I was only hoping.
This is going to be the sweetest deal ever. We take our time and we get everything lined up just so.
Well, how about a little refreshments? I'll call Winnie and Will.
Not just yet, Dutch.
No, what's the matter?
Something just came to my mind.
Yeah?
Yeah. Fisher, I've been trying to place you ever since you walked in that door.
I told you this is the first time I laid eyes on you, Moran.
He comes from East St. Louis. At least that's what he said.
I thought I saw you before. And now I know where.
Well, maybe. I'm no babysitter. I get around.
If it's what I'm thinking of, Fisher, you'll get around plenty. On your back.
What's the trouble, Moran?
If you got something on your mind, Moran, get it off.
Sure. I'll get it off. Answer me yes or no, Fisher. Back in 29, you tailed me for days.
Don't be nuts, Moran.
You never could get me where you wanted me. Isn't that right?
Now, look, Moran.
You were with Al Capone, weren't you? Answer me. You were one of Capone's boys. Well?
What if I was? I was only a punk kid doing a job. I didn't have nothing against you.
I knew I could smell you.
Now, take it easy, Moran.
Sure. He had a job. There wasn't anything personal.
Okay, I guess there wasn't. Anyway, I lived through it.
Didn't we all?
Let's have those drinks, Dutch.
It's the fourth race at New Orleans. A change of jockeys. Al Haynes is now riding Roadmaster instead of M. Kramer.
And that's the way it stands, Lieutenant.
It's not good, Fisher. Do you think you can talk Moran into a test a day or so before the big day?
A test?
Sure, to see how the stuff is accepted. Then we can make our pinch on that test without risking too wide a distribution.
I don't know. Maybe he'll go for it. I'll try.
Okay. But be careful how you handle it.
Don't worry, I will. Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Dutch Bauer and he's seen us.
I'll get out of here.
No, sit still. He'd only be more suspicious. He's coming over.
In the sixth at New York, number 4, you're welcome, has been scratched.
Hello, Fisher. Mind if I sit down?
Help yourself, Dutch.
Thanks.
This is Lieutenant Thacker, Dutch Bauer.
You see?
Hi. Army, Navy, or fire department?
State attorney's office. Well, you weren't much help, Fisher, but thanks.
Don't mention it.
Nice to meet you.
What does a cop want with you?
He's looking for somebody.
You didn't know where the guy was. The one he was looking for.
Well, there's one way to handle cops. Let them think you're helping them, Dutch, but don't.
You're a lucky guy, Fisher.
Why?
You see, I knew he was law. If you'd have told me he was something else, that's all, brother.
I've got nothing to hide. What's up, Dutch?
Moran wants to see you.
Not another meet.
10 o'clock tonight. We're all set to go.
Meetings, meetings.
I'll see you there.
Fairoff's been running in the fourth at New Orleans at 4:20. At Keeneland in the third race.
The guy's once got it, George. He's always got it.
Well, a little tough, baby. I never thought I'd make it back to the top. And this is going to be the send-off. There ought to be nearly 200 grand in it for me.
I'd be disappointed if there wasn't. The way Dutch was running, it was for buttons.
Dutch is a buttons kind of guy when he's no good for you.
Who is?
Who do you think?
Can I get you another drink?
Not now, Winnie. We've got...
Winnie, I... Oh.
Hello, Dutch. Fisher, how's it going?
Not a winner all day.
I didn't expect to find you here, Moran. I thought that meeting last night covered everything.
I didn't come here to see you.
No?
I came to see Winnie.
George,
shut up. Have you got business with Winnie now?
Yeah, Dutch. Plenty of business. It's been unfinished a long time.
They got a name for a guy like you, Moran.
Yeah, I guess they have.
Look, maybe I'll take a walk.
No, stick around. You don't expect me to stand still while you take over everything, Moran, do you?
You'll stand as still as I say.
Boys, there's no sense getting worked up over this.
Who wants her anyway? Take her.
I intend to, Dutch.
I think I'll go out for a walk. Business before pleasure, boys. See you later.
Well, Dutch, you got anything else to say?
About what?
About nothing. Fisher, you might like to know, I thought over that idea of yours about the test passing.
Yeah?
You haven't got a bad idea there, Fisher. Not bad at all.
Well, I figured we could make this test passing on a Saturday. We see how it goes. Now, if everything's okay, the big day will be Monday before any of the Saturday stuff has a chance to clear any banks.
Yeah. What do you think, Dutch?
Anything is okay, Moran, so long as you say so.
Good. And I think we'll try it out in Pittsburgh. How's next Saturday?
Great. I'm glad to hear it. Then I can shove off for Miami.
All right, we leave for Pittsburgh Thursday. In the meantime, Dutch, you get in touch with the boys all over that are going to do the passing.
Okay.
You get in touch with them and tell them that right after we make the test, we send each of them a wire. Tell them when they get it, be ready to unload Monday.
That's the way it was, Lieutenant. The big day is set for next Monday. The test will be this Saturday.
Good work, Fisher. But I wouldn't have given a nickel for your chances of getting the idea across.
Well, Moran went for it, hook, line, and sinker. Look, Lieutenant, I'll have to stick pretty close to Moran. Everything will be taken care of for Pittsburgh, huh?
Don't worry, it'll be all set. I'll see you there.
Yeah, so long and good luck.
Good luck yourself. You need it more than I do.
Colonel, up for you all, sir?
Not enough? How about you, pal? You want anything?
No, not here. Oh, well, let's see. Two shirts at $7.50, two neckties, $23.80 with the tax.
Yeah, look, I got an express money order. It's all endorsed.
Huh? $100?
Yeah, take it out of there.
I'll have to get the section manager's okay, sir.
Oh, don't get it. Don't stand around.
Yes, sir.
Be right back, sir.
You like that guy, Fisher?
I'm not worried about the guy. I just hope that paper gets by. Means a lot to me.
What do you think it means to me? It'll get by.
I hope Dutch is making out okay.
We pass that paper here, it'll be okay anyways. We send out the wires tonight.
Uh-oh, here comes the clerk.
Yeah.
I have your change for you, sir.
Good. Glad to have it.
Could you show me some of those shirts?
Be with you in a second, sir, as soon as I finish with this customer.
Excuse me. Take your time.
2380, 24, 25, 30, 40, 50... 70, 90, 100.
Much obliged.
Your package will be ready in a minute, sir.
Okay. Don't move, Moran.
Watch it.
Get him up.
Come on, let's get out of here, Fisher.
You're not going any place, Moran.
Fisher, you...
Watch him.
No, you don't.
Stand back. Everybody, stand back.
Everybody stand back, please.
Well, Lieutenant, that takes care of Bugs Moran.
Certainly does, Mr. Fisher. Let's get him in.
Sure.
Stand back, folks. It's all over.
There's nothing to see. It's all over.
So, Don, the fabulous Bugs Moran was caught in the act of passing forged money orders. He was tried and sentenced to a term in prison.
But this wasn't the end of his criminal activities, Mr. Heck.
No, it certainly wasn't. Another climactic episode, which closed just a few months ago, was still to come.
Well, thank you, Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, for giving us the inside facts into the amazing case history of George Bugs Moran. And gangbusters, congratulations to all the agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Dayton, Ohio detectives who participated in the investigation and prosecution of this notorious criminal. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Ken Lynch and Charlotte Lawrence in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
There, from sometime in the 1950s, part number one of a two-part program on Gangbusters entitled The Notorious Bugs Moran. We'll be back with part two as yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
And now with part two of the notorious Bugs Moran, here once again is Gangbusters.
Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
My name is Ernest Gaither, Jr. I'm here in the Cook County Jail with only 29 hours to live before I go to the electric chair.
Listen later to the rest of this amazing statement of a murderer who died in the electric chair only a few hours ago. A statement recorded inside the death cell especially for Gangbusters.
And now to Gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has again asked the Honorable Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the notorious Bugs Moran.
Mr. Heck, we know how George Bugs Moran, who for years was Al Capone's only serious rival in the Chicago underworld, finally was sentenced to a term in prison, the first he had served in 20 years, despite numerous crimes accredited to him.
And it was a comparatively short sentence, Don Gardner. Moran was soon out of prison. To all appearances, he was making an effort to go straight. He set himself up as a speculator in oil leases and was operating in the southern Illinois and Indiana boom country. One day, about a year ago, Moran and an associate were seated in the rectory of a church at Vandalia, Illinois, waiting to keep an appointment with the pastor.
Give me a cigarette, Moran.
You don't have to smoke in here.
Well, I don't see no signs.
You don't see no signs. You don't have to smoke. Just sit there and don't say nothing when he comes in.
Who wants to say something?
Don't open your yap and everything. Okay, here he is. Now get up. Get up, I said. Hello, Reverend.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Nice to see you again, Reverend.
Yes?
This is my associate, Mr. Virgil Summers.
How you do, Reverend? Virgil is a name with a heritage.
Everybody calls me Doc.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Well, Reverend, did you talk over our proposition with the elders?
I did, Mr. Moran.
And?
The matter was left undecided until I brought them the answers to a few more questions.
Well, anything they want to know, Reverend. The church has got that 40 acres of land out there that has a good chance of having oil under it. Now, if we bring in oil, why, every Sunday, instead of members of the congregation putting into the contribution box, they'll have to take out just so as you can get rid of the money. That's how rich the church will be.
I doubt, Mr. Moran, that such an extreme measure would be necessary.
Well, I can't for the life of me see what you're hesitating for. Can you, Mr. Summers?
I cannot, Mr. Moran.
Well, as you know, gentlemen, the first consideration is whether under the terms of the late Mr. Baker's will, we can use the property for this purpose. Mr. Baker bequeathed it to us as a cemetery, you know.
No, Reverend,
however,
I think
the elders agree that we may be able to obtain a liberal interpretation of Mr. Baker's generous
will. Now we're getting someplace.
But there is one other consideration, Mr. Moran.
Anything, Reverend, anything at all.
It has come to our attention that you are also the notorious Bugs Moran of Chicago.
My name is George Moran. It never was Bugs Moran.
But you are from Chicago.
Well, what difference does it make where I come from or what I was? I'm here with a legitimate business proposition, and that ought to be enough.
I'm afraid, Mr. Moran, the elders would prefer to deal with someone longer established in the oil business.
Come on, Doc. Let's go.
Wait a minute, Moran. Maybe the Reverend wants another kind of business.
Come on.
Okay, I'm coming.
Good day, gentlemen.
So long, Reverend. I'll see you in church.
Dealing with preachers and widows and banks.
And what's the matter with banks, Doc?
Nothing at all, Moran, if we do business with them in the right way. But this oil lease pitch is a waste of time and a waste of money.
Don't tell me what's a waste of money, Doc. As long as we're in the oil lease business, we get a legitimate pursuit. There's nobody can say nothing to us for being around.
Okay, but can't you pick a legitimate pursuit we can make dough at instead of throwing it away?
Who knows, Doc? Maybe oil will turn up under some of that land we got under lease.
Yeah, maybe someday cops will shoot dollar bills out of their guns instead of bullets, but I ain't waiting around to find out. Angie says...
Angie, who cares what Angie says?
I care what she says. And you ought to, too. She comes in pretty handy when a job needs a lady's touch.
Now, let me tell you something, Doc. Keep Angie and the rest of your homework out of my hair. If you want to string along with me, we make a buck. Otherwise, goodbye.
Now, wait a minute, boss. I was just talking.
Now, talk to yourself or Angie. When it comes to business, just listen.
Okay. Don't get excited.
Stick here. I'm going to put in a long-distance call to Dayton.
You well?
Yeah.
Now you're talking. I hope he's all set.
If he's set, you'll know about it.
There's only one thing.
Yeah?
Tell Al if the deal's got any preachers in it, it's out.
I'll be right there.
Yes, did you want to see me?
Reverend Thomas?
That's right.
My name's Dixon. I'm a special agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, yes. Sit down. Mr. Dixon, you said?
Dixon, yes. Thanks.
Well, Mr. Dixon, I suppose you hear from a lot of old cranks like me.
No one's a crank, Reverend. No one that has something that might turn into a legitimate lead.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Dixon, after thinking the whole thing over and losing no little sleep, I'm sorry that I phoned you.
I'm not, Reverend.
It comes down to this. Bugs Moran or no Bugs Moran, the man approached me on what was a legitimate enterprise. I had no right to treat him so shabbily. He's probably making every effort to live a better life. And he should be encouraged, especially by a minister of the gospel.
This is Bugs Moran you're talking about?
Bugs Moran or any other man.
Reverend, we've been following Bugs Moran for weeks, since long before he approached you.
Well,
his oil lease business may be legitimate, but we think it's only a blind.
What, Mr. Dixon?
A blind. Camouflage for something else.
Oh.
I suppose you've read about the several bank robberies in southern Illinois and Missouri and Indiana in the last year.
Read about them? I preached a sermon on the subject. So you think Moran is the bank robber?
We're watching him, Reverend.
Well,
we haven't been able to prove it yet, but we think we will.
So long, Doc. I'll see you in Dayton. So long, Angie.
Toodaloo, Moran.
You want me to walk to the train with you?
What's the matter? Don't you think he can find the train himself?
You just drive on, Angie. Doc, get this car in shape. It sounds like it hasn't been greased in a year. So long.
Bon voyage.
Give my best to Al.
Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, get moving.
Where to? One of your oil wells?
Angie, so help me, someday I'm going to twist your nose around your ear.
That.
And lay off Moran, will you? We've been doing okay with him.
You mean he's been doing okay with us? That has been.
Angie.
Bugs Moran, who needs him?
We got him. That's all there is to it. Now shut up about it.
Doc?
Yeah?
What's this Dayton caper?
Watch it. You got a red light
there. Okay, I see it. I'm not blind. I ask you a question.
What question?
What gives in Dayton? What did Al come up with?
Ask Moran.
Oh, Doc, I swear I'm going to claw
you. Okay, go ahead. The light's green.
Oh.
We're pulling out for Dayton tonight. You throw your duds in a bag and be ready to go.
But, Doc, I don't want to...
You heard me. We're driving to Dayton. I don't want to hear no more about Moran or oil wells or anything. Just drive.
Special Agent Haynes.
Mr. Haynes, Special Agent Dixon's on long distance from Vandalia, Illinois.
Oh, good. Put him on.
Yes, sir. Hello, Haynes.
What's up, Dixon?
Moran bought a ticket to Dayton, and he's on the train now. I sent Greer along to keep him company.
Okay. We'll take over on this end when the train gets in. What's in Dayton?
I haven't any idea, but it must be a deal.
Huh?
It looks like he's coming alone to avoid suspicion. I think Doc Summers and the woman are getting ready to make the drive there. They're having the car serviced.
Are you going to stay with them?
I'll be right behind them wherever they head. If it's Dayton, I'll see you.
Okay, Dixon. We'll be looking for you.
And keep your fingers crossed, Haynes. Before this is over, I think we'll have Moran where he'll never be able to squeeze his way out again.
So, Don, as the notorious Bugs Moran and his henchmen were about to pull a deal, as they termed it, in Dayton, Ohio, they were unaware that agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation were maintaining a constant surveillance of the mob, hoping to catch them in the act of committing a crime.
Now, back to Gangbusters. You were telling us, Mr. Heck, how agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation suspected the deposed Chicago racketeer Bugs Moran as the leader of a gang of bank robbers.
That's right, Don. And Moran had been followed to Dayton, Ohio, in the hope of catching him and his confederates in the act of committing a crime. Later, the criminal Doc Summers and the woman Angie arrived by car from Illinois and rang the bell at the house where Moran was staying.
Fine reception. Guess nobody's home.
Angie, I've been listening to you beef for 300 miles. Now keep it quiet, or I give you really something to beef about.
Ring the bell again, will you?
Yeah.
Running all over the country like a bunch of bums.
Angie, I swear.
Here comes somebody.
Okay, then get a smile on your puss.
I'll smile when I want to.
Hello, Al.
Doc, come in, come in. Did you have a good ride?
Yeah, considering.
I had a good ride, too.
That's nice. Moran's in the parlor, Doc. He wants to see you.
Yeah? Where, in here?
Yeah, this is it. Come on, Angie. I'll show you where you bunk.
Well, maybe I got something to say to Moran, too.
If you have, you can say it later. Go on in with Al.
Now, listen.
Come on.
I'm coming. Don't push me around. I'm not your mother.
Hi, boss.
Hello, Doc.
Nice layout here, Moran.
It'll do. Sit down. Pour yourself a drink.
Thanks.
How is the trip?
Well, okay.
Angie?
She's getting to be a pain where it hurts.
Yeah, I heard her just now. But like you say, Doc, sometimes she comes in handy.
Pour you one too, boss?
No, I'll stick with this. But you gotta straighten her out, Doc. A dame around's okay with me until she gets to a point where she's liable to queer the caper.
Yeah, what about the caper? What's Al got set?
He's good for 10 grand.
Not bad. Another bank?
No. Tavern owner.
Hey, I quit heisting saloons years ago.
All right, now, wait a minute.
Besides, what saloon has 10 grand?
Will you listen? Okay. It's a pretty good deal.
Oh?
This tavern's right near the big frigid airplane. Every payday, the workers come in the joint to cash the checks. So every Friday, this tavern owner goes downtown to the bank and gets 10,000. No more, no less. 10,000.
Now it begins to sound like something.
Guy rides back alone from the bank. We nail him on the way.
Good enough.
Now, the thing we gotta do is know that bank inside out, the tavern, and the streets in between.
Sounds like a cinch.
Tell Angie to get ready.
But, Moran,
I know, I know, but I want to show you that tavern and get a better look for myself. We'll take Angie along for the ride.
All the way to Dayton to knock over a tavern guard.
I'm warning you, Angie, you better shut up or you're going back home. And if I send you home, it'll be on your back. I remember that.
She'll be all right, Moran.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Saloon bandits.
Okay, now that's enough. This sounds too easy, Moran. Somebody goes to the bank with him. They got to.
Al's been watching him 3 weeks. He goes alone.
Well, then he sure carries a gun. If he don't, he ought to.
What if he does? There'll be enough of us.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I heard enough out of you, Angie. Go on home.
That's a good idea. Why didn't I think of it?
Moran, she better stay.
And suppose I don't want to.
Go on, get out.
Well, Good night. I think I'll pick up a guy. Maybe two guys.
Pick up whoever you like.
Those two over there ought to do me fine.
Hey, Angie, you go on home now.
Nighty-night. Hello, boys.
Hi.
You too, hello.
Hello.
Got a cigarette?
Sure. Here, help yourself.
Thanks. That's my brand. Match?
Yeah, sure.
Much obliged.
Don't mention it.
You wouldn't like to buy me a drink, would you?
We'd love to.
I like rye, straight rye.
But we're expecting our wife.
Oh.
Yeah, any minute.
Some other time.
It's a date.
Well, I guess I'll toddle along home.
That's as good a place as any.
Thanks for the cigarette.
What do you think, Haynes?
It was an accident. They didn't send her over.
I don't care for that kind of accident. Maybe we're too close to her.
Maybe. But we've got to take our chances. Come on, let's get out to the car.
Hello, Andy.
Get out of here. Nobody comes in my room, Moran, not without an invitation.
I got an invitation. My own.
What do you want?
Here.
What's that?
A bus ticket. Get packed and get out of here.
Now, wait a minute, Moran. Nobody's telling me where to go and when.
I'm telling you right now to get yourself out of here, and you better do it before I let you know why.
Why, you no good hoodlum.
I'm hung up for your rotten tongue, Angie. I'll get packed.
Doc will have something to say about this.
Doc's already had something to say. He went down and bought the bus ticket.
You rotten heat, I'll claw your eyes out. You can't stop me.
Now, get packed before you get more. Only worse.
Nice night, huh, Dixon? Beautiful. Girl got on a bus alone. A ticket to St. Louis.
Okay, we'll have her picked up at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's the car, the Buick.
You got a lot of nerve leaving a stolen car parked right in front of the house.
Not so much. It hasn't even been reported stolen yet.
Oh.
The doctor it belongs to is in Chicago at a convention.
Well, it's a cinch they don't want a hot car around too long. Maybe tomorrow's the day.
A month's pay, says it is.
Yeah, I'd make the same bet. The lights are still on in the house.
Moran makes his boys study late.
Yeah, just walk on by. I hope we can stick with him tomorrow.
We will. There's four extra men flying in from Cleveland.
Good. We'll need them. I don't think Moran will give up so easily, even when he's through. Now we'll turn left at the next corner.
Boys, a lot of traffic out, more than we counted on.
It'll be okay, Moran.
Don't worry. Everything I wish is Angie was here to help me spend my part of that guy's $10,000.
Oh, for the love of... Will you stop yapping about Angie?
Okay, okay.
We'll take him at the red light. You ready, Al?
Yep. All set.
Doc?
Am I ready for $10,000?
All right, boys. I'll be following you.
There's the light.
He's stopping in a good place.
Great. Right back.
Go ahead, but take your time. Do it right.
Let's go, Doc.
All right, will you? You get that side out.
Yeah.
I'll take over the wheel.
Hey.
Move over, bud. We'll take care of that package.
You'll let him slide over this way.
Okay, okay.
Only don't shoot. Get your head down.
All right. Lower, or I'll knock it down.
Yeah, all right. Okay, you got the light.
Get his eyes taped.
No, please don't. Don't tell us what to do. Now you'll shut up.
Tape him up good, pal. The less he sees, the better.
Special Agent Haynes.
This is Dixon. We got a bad break, Haynes. We lost Moran in traffic.
No.
It couldn't be helped. And they may be pulling the job right now.
Well, no reports have come in yet.
Well, look, Haynes. Get out an alarm on that stolen Buick. At least we'll have that to hang on him, if nothing else.
All right. I'll put it on a teletype right away. Go ahead. Walk.
faster.
But I can't see.
That's the idea of the tape, so you can't see.
Go ahead.
All right.
How much farther?
Walk, I say.
Get up. Get up, or I'll kick you so you really feel it.
That's far enough. Leave him lay there.
That's the boss.
Tape him to that tree. But good.
Okay. Everything go all right?
On schedule, boss, on schedule.
Where's the score?
Right here. Huh? I ain't had time to count it, but it feels like 10 grand if anything ever felt like 10 grand.
Well, let's get moving.
Hey, you set? Oh, come on, let's go.
You take the wheel, Dan.
Yeah. Boy, we got any more like this, Moran?
A few. Just a few. Come on, come on, let's go.
Okay, I'm coming. I'm coming.
All right, get in.
Well, Moran, where to?
Back to the joint. But, boss, we ought to move.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of hanging around like a couple of ducks for them to shoot at.
Listen to Papa, will you? He knows best.
Doc, wake up. Somebody's tapping on the window. See?
Holy... It's Angie. Well, I'll be...
Get rid of that, Doc.
Yeah, okay. Angie, what...
Go over and open the door, Doc.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I know it. If it wasn't, would I be banging on the window?
Why ain't you in St. Louis?
I'm not, that's all. Open the door.
Oh, Moran knew you were here. He'd cut my head off.
Open the door.
Okay, okay, but be quiet, will you?
Get rid of that, Doc. Get rid of a
friend. Yeah, 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 okay. It ain't one thing with her, it's another. Never anybody. Oh, well. Now, look here, Angie. What's the idea?
FBI, that... don't move.
FBI.
Just keep still and you'll be all right.
Listen, guys.
Where's Moran sleeping?
In there.
And Al?
There, but he's not sleeping.
You, take Al. But watch him.
Okay.
You hold this one here. Come on, Haynes.
Right.
Okay. All right. Open the door. Easy.
I said sit up.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You...
FBI, Moran, here's your pants. Get them on.
You guys got no right coming here and hearing me. I got a right to my privacy.
This isn't 20 years ago, Moran. Get those pants on or we'll take you in without them.
So, Don, after nearly 25 years, the notorious Bugs Moran, once one of the most feared gangsters in the country, was finally convicted as a common bandit. Moran and his accomplices, Virgil, Doc Summers, and Al Fouts, were all given maximum terms of 25 years, which they are now serving in Ohio State Penitentiary.
Well, thank you, Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, for giving us the inside facts into the amazing case history of George Bugs Moran. Gangbusters, congratulations to all the agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Dayton, Ohio detectives who participated in the investigation and prosecution of this notorious criminal. Now, a special Gangbusters presentation.
Late Thursday night, a murderer was led down a dimly lit corridor in the Cook County Jail at Chicago. This murderer had a message to leave behind him, and a special Gangbusters crew went into his cell to record that message. Here it is.
My name is Ernest Gaither Jr. I'm here in the Cook County Jail with only 29 hours to live before I go to the electric chair. I was a stick-up man. That's what I was at the age of 16. I was the boss of a gang. I thought I was a big shot to $3,000 in my pocket at all times. But it was a great mistake I made for thinking that. You are not tough when you put a gun in a man's face and take what he has worked hard for. It don't take guts to do that. Any fool can put a gun in his hand and do wrong. But it takes a man with guts to get a job and work for what he wants. I am just so sorry that I couldn't see it this way until it was too late. Although my life will be taken from me, but my soul is going to rest with God. And I am so happy that I am ready to go.
This murderer had a message to leave behind him. Late Thursday night, a murderer was led down a dimly lit corridor in the Cook County Jail at Chicago.
Well, thank you, Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, for giving us the inside facts into the amazing case history of George Bugs Moran. And gangbusters, congratulations to all the agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Dayton, Ohio detectives who participated in the investigation and prosecution of this notorious criminal. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Ken Lynch and Charlotte Lawrence in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
From sometime in the 1950s, it's been Gangbusters with parts 1 and 2 of The Notorious Bugs Moran. In the few moments that we have remaining on this edition of Yesteryear, a bit of a treat for you as we listen to Boris Karloff in Tales from the Reader's Digest. Karloff was an English actor who emigrated to Canada in the 1910s, best remembered for his roles in horror films and ultimately his portrayal of Frankenstein's monster in the 1931 classic Frankenstein, as well as 1935's Bride of Frankenstein and the 1939 film Son of Frankenstein. Boris Karloff's popularity following Frankenstein in the 30s was such that for a brief time, he was simply billed as Karloff. He made appearances on both stage, later on in television, and for a time in the 1950s, he was host of Tales from the Reader's Digest, which was syndicated across the country from 1956 through 1959. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Boris Karloff in Tales from the Reader's Digest from December of 1957, and the story of Dr. Harvey Cushing, another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
This is Boris Karloff speaking. I'm here with a story for you from the files of the Reader's Digest. The man on the operating table was suffering from a tumor on the brain. Swiftly, the surgeon and newly graduated intern went to work. A few hours later, the patient died. It came as a surprise to no one, for the year was 1895, and in those days, 9 out of 10 patients failed to survive brain surgery. 25 years later, the young intern had reversed the odds. 9 out of 10 patients survived brain operations. His name? Dr. Harvey Cushing. As an undergraduate at Yale, he was a good but uninspired student. But in medical school, in surgery, he found his true vocation. And yet, because of an experience in medical school, Cushing almost gave up medicine. It was regular practice for second-year students to administer ether, and Cushing had served in that capacity only a few times when one of his patients died in the middle of an operation. He blamed himself and decided to give up being a doctor. Only the arguments of friends finally made him change his mind. When Cushing hung up his shingle in Baltimore, his salary as staff physician at a hospital was just $350 a year. Hoping to augment it, the 32-year-old surgeon requested that all cases at Johns Hopkins in which brain surgery was indicated be referred to him. It was only a trickle at first, for doctors almost universally regarded a brain operation as a sentence of death. But as Cushing's brain tumor mortality rate kept dropping, more and more cases came to him, and almost single-handed he had created a new surgical specialty. After America's entry into World War I, Dr. Cushing was commissioned a major and took a surgical team overseas. At home, he had considered a single brain operation a full day's work. But at the front, he tackled as many as 8 a day, operating by candlelight when air alerts had shut off the power. In August 1918 at Chateau Thierry, Cushing came down with an obscure infection of the nervous system. After the armistice, he returned to this country and slowly, painfully, his fingers regained their skill. He was never able to walk easily again. But Dr. Cushing was as busy as ever. His surgical technique was still advancing, though sometimes he operated sitting down. In a lifetime of brilliant accomplishment, Harvey Cushing was showered with international honors. But he was first of all the friend of sick people in their time of trouble. He could command astronomical fees from the wealthy. But a patient of limited means might find, enclosed with Dr. Cushing's modest bill, a note. I don't want you to feel bound to pay this account unless you can really manage to do so. But if you can pay it or can pay part of it in due course, I'll be obliged to you. I'll be joining you soon again with more transcribed stories. But until then, this is Boris Karloff saying goodbye.
From December of 1957, it's been Boris Karloff with Tales from the Reader's Digest and the story of Dr. Harvey Cushing. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at this time and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.